Hello, I'm Sam, and this is Pilgrim Pit Stop. It's a podcast about following Jesus through life's highs and lows. And there's a new episode every other Friday. So I would really love it if you hit subscribe and tell your friends about it as well, if you enjoy what you hear. Here's a little clip of what's coming up today.
Oh, hello. What does that say?
Is that the sign?
No way. Does that say St. Andrews?
All right, let's go. I am fascinated by the ancient spiritual practice of pilgrimage. At the start of 2020, I launched this podcast to chat about following Jesus on the journey of life. But with one thing or another, most of these conversations have been remote rather than on a physical journey. Well, that changed in August when my brother and I undertook the 180-mile pilgrimage from Iona in the west of Scotland to St. Andrews in the east, following in the footsteps of 6th-century missionary St. Columba. This is the final episode in a 3-part series documenting that pilgrimage. At the end of episode 2, we had made it to the village of Killin, roughly halfway across the mainland. However, we were running out of water purification tablets and genuinely wouldn't be able to continue the hike if we couldn't find any more. Half past 3 on the 15th, just a quick update.
PM.
Yeah, PM. Thanks for that. Just a quick update. We managed to find water purification tablets.
Yeah.
That was a slightly scary moment, to be honest. I think we made a bit of a mistake in not packing enough, but we did happen to find a camping shop that sold them, which we were very, very thankful for.
We prayed for provision of that.
We certainly did.
And it was provided, so praise God.
Indeed.
But so, yeah, it was a camping shop. I also got some more cutlery because Samuel snapped my spork.
Intentionally.
A couple of nights ago, he was stirring the pasta and with my spork, and he just snapped it clean in half, didn't you?
Yeah.
Sorry, just thought I'd throw that in there. Make your listeners realise you're not as good as they
think. They need to know the truth. So here we go. How are you feeling as we head into this? This is possibly the hardest bit of the hike in many ways. We're not going to be passing through many, if any, settlements. We're really going to be out in the sticks. The weather looks a little bit less delicious. How are you feeling?
I'm looking forward to it, I think, because I think, you know, the fact that there aren't many settlements means it will be easier to find public land to camp on. That's a pro. And I think, you know, now we've got to the halfway point, the whole thing just feels a lot more kind of doable.
Right. It's 10 p.m. and we've just finished putting the tent up. This has been the most sketchy campsite, I think, that we've had so far. It really did not look like it was going to be possible. We were walking along Loch Tay, which... all of the land either side of it apparently is private.
We were planning to do that walk tomorrow. We were like, right, tomorrow we'll walk along the lock. We'll just find somewhere to camp at the start of the lock. We ended up walking the entire page of the map, so probably like 6-8 miles, and like have left the lock. So we've done pretty much all we were expecting to do tomorrow, just in search of a campsite, and as you say, it was all just fenced off, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was all just private, and just didn't know where we were going to literally, because even the verge on the side of the road was maybe half a meter wide, so we couldn't pitch there.
And it's just like, where are we going to do this? So we found a place. The path takes us off the loch. So we've just done that. And we were walking for about half an hour. And we found a place kind of up a little hill. It's about 200 feet from a house. So it just feels a bit kind of... I mean, it's legal because, you know...
It's public land.
It's public land. But it just kind of feels like we're in their back lawn. yeah, a bit sketchy. It's on a bit of a slant as well. But... Hey ho.
On one side we've got a barbed wire fence, and then the other side there's like a steep drop, so the tent just fits on this little kind of ledge.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
It is Sunday the 16th of August, and it's probably about 2 in the afternoon.
4
in the afternoon. Have no sense of time clearly at the moment. We've had some lunch and we've just had a kind of mini service, church, simple church service, I guess you could call it. We've been using this book that our late granddad Bernard wrote called A Basket of Prayer, which is just a brilliant collection of prayers that he wrote. And today we were focusing really on two prayers that he's written that are kind of really honing in on the physicality of the human experience. And I think that's something that the two of us are thinking about quite a lot at the moment as we take this rest day, as we take this Sabbath, sitting here surrounded by heather, bright purple heather and green grass and the streams are flowing in front of us, and there's a family playing the other side of the stream, and just kind of sitting here on this rest day. I think we're aware of how far our bodies have taken us. You know, we were looking at the map yesterday and realized just how far we've come, but also how far we've still got to go. And you know, at this point our feet are pretty tired. We were saying that both of the soles of our feet feel just kind of pretty raw, don't they, today? I think we covered a lot of distance yesterday. We weren't really expecting to cover all of that, and it's left us feeling a little bit battered and bruised. I'll just read this one as well. I am thirsty. The pain, the heat, the exhaustion brought this cry, the elemental cry of the body in crisis. Our brother, a man of flesh and blood, not an angel afloat in space, but subject to the needs we all have, sleep and food and friends and water. He had said before at Sychar to a Samaritan woman at the well, "Give me a drink." It is the simplest cry, yet for many today, clean water is scarce or a long road away. Many are thirsty in spirit, wearied and cynical in a world adrift, defeated in the rat race of competition, or left with tasks that seem impossible. Weep not for me, weep for yourselves when this cry has been ignored, when the body thirsts and the soul thirsts, and there is no one to respond. Lord Jesus, let us hear the cry. Right. It is Monday the 17th of August.
Yep.
And we're making good progress. A bit colder today. Actually, the last few days have been quite a bit colder, haven't they? I feel like the weather's turned a bit and we had a bit of rain this morning. But we're doing well. We're making good progress after our rest day yesterday. And we are hoping to get to a place called Amalry this evening, which is a village. Do you want to say some more about it, Thomas?
Yeah, so obviously when we were planning the trip, we kind of planned exactly where we were going to stop for food, all the villages that had a little shop and stuff where we could get food. And you probably remember we said this is the longest stretch without those. So from Killin to Luncarty, which is on the outskirts of Perth, about 3.5 days walking, we found no places along the route to buy food.
Let me just get this gate. Oh no! I've just broken the gate. The handle just came off.
That is pin you have to pull out. The whole thing came.
Oh, that was right. Be careful with that. That is.
So it was.
Yeah, just to clarify, because obviously that's now captured on the podcast for all eternity. Yeah. The gate was broken. I didn't break it, but yeah, anyway. Carrying on.
Yeah, so, so apart from potentially Amelry, we found when we were looking on, you know, just on the internet, we Googled this village to see if it had anything in it. And we found this thing called the Amelry Tea Room. And we went on the Facebook page and it didn't have any likes or comments or like posts or anything. So that didn't really bode well. But we trawled the internet for any evidence of this tea room. And there was like some kind of online directory of businesses that had a postcode for it. And we put that postcode into Google Maps and it came out in the middle of a field, kind of just south of Amelry, yeah, the village. So we're going to go to that field probably tomorrow morning and see if there's any any evidence of this joint. Because if so, that'd be a really good place to break up the journey. But
be awesome.
It's a bit bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, so bring it on. Or we might just be about to bust some sort of illicit front for something in the middle of the Scottish Highlands, but yeah, we'll see.
The legendary Amelry tea room.
Well, we're in Amelry and we are looking out to the postcode that is listed online, and it's a field and there's literally nothing. There's some sheep, that's about it. So the Amelry tea room is
it's a lie.
It's a fiction.
We got here sooner than we expected. We've made quite good progress today. So we thought we were going to get here by tomorrow morning, but we're actually here now. And
expecting a bacon butty for dinner.
Yeah, I was looking forward to my bacon and brie melt and a chai latte, you know, and look what's happened.
It's a field full of sheep.
Yeah, no millionaire shortbread for us.
No, well, it'll be... what are we going to do tonight on the fire? Curry?
Yeah, we're doing sort of rice and curry paste.
Curry paste and rice with some raisins thrown in for
and
nutrition.
And apricots.
Oh, yeah. That's actually a fairly good meal.
Yeah, no, it's quite good.
Anyway,
quite spicy.
We need to find a place to camp, so let's start looking.
You've got me again, I'm afraid. It's the 18th of August, 2020, and... we've just woken up in a bit of a fog. It's like we're actually inside a cloud. It's amazing. It's kind of coated all the grass outside with little beads of water. It's quite early. It's kind of 7:25, and we're actually going to set off quite soon. Samuel's just in the tent getting his stuff ready. We're going to try and make it to Perth today. Which will be a big milestone because it's going to be by far the biggest settlement we will have come across on this route. Nothing on Mull or in the Highlands, including places like Oban and on the coast and stuff. None of those settlements have come close to the size of the cities moving sort of to the far east of the route. It feels like today we're going to move into a completely different landscape, a completely different part of the pilgrimage, but it's exciting.
We are, I can't believe I'm saying this, on the outskirts of Perth. That's crazy. We're on the outskirts of Perth. I remember when we were planning this route, Perth just seemed like if we make it there, we're home and dry. Because effectively we've crossed most of the country now, and it's just Perth, Dundee, and then down to St Andrews. So we're, 4 miles out from Perth? We've made insane progress today. I don't even know how many miles we've done. It must be, to 18 or something?
I think I underestimated the mileage ever so slightly. I was like, oh yeah, we'll make it to Perth and
spend the night there, but yeah, it's probably going to be around 18 to 20 miles today.
Yeah.
Crazy.
How are you feeling? How are your feet feeling?
Yeah, okay. I think you're worse off than I am, aren't you? You're hobbling quite a lot.
Yeah.
My blisters are kind of on the mend. I've got a bit of a pain developing in my left kind of knee as I walk. I think I might have slept on it in a weird position, but yeah, otherwise okay. What about you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, like you say, my feet are in quite a bit of pain today, but we're getting through it. We've actually made the decision tonight to stay in an Airbnb for, I guess, a few different reasons. Partially because it's going to be really hard to actually find somewhere to wild camp around Perth. It's the biggest city we passed through on this journey, and we just weren't sure whether we were going to be able to find somewhere to wild camp. And also, we just want a nice night, don't we? And the thought of having a bed and a room in which you can stand up in is just like, oh, such a treat. And a shower, oh, can't wait, it's gonna be great. So so yeah, we've booked that, and we're just hobbling our way towards that Airbnb right now.
Wednesday the 19th of August, and just woken up from the most amazing sleep. How did you sleep, Thomas?
Very good.
All right, we are looking out over Perth. We've passed through it. What a beautiful city that was. I really, really liked that. Mm. Yeah, great. We've spent a relaxed morning in a pub in Perth, just eating a lot of food. I'm feeling pretty heavy right now, but it was good just to, just to spend some time chilling. And this is it now. It feels like we're heading off into our final leg of the walk. I was doing a bit of reading about Perth this morning, and turns out that it's named after a Pictish word for forest or thicket. And obviously the Picts were the people that St. Columba was coming across the country to visit and to share the gospel with. So that feels quite, you know, significant. And this next stretch we're passing through, there have been lots of kind of archaeological discoveries of Pictish statues and carvings and all sorts of things. So we're really into that territory now where St. Columba, you know, our boy St. Columba was doing his stuff. I just want to pray this prayer over our final leg of the journey. It's another St. Columba prayer. Be a bright flame before me, O God, a guiding star above me. Be a smooth path below me, a kindly shepherd behind me, today, tonight, and forever. Alone with none but you, my God, I journey on my way. What need I fear when you are near, O Lord of night and day? More secure am I within your hand than if a multitude did round me stand.
Reflections in the swimming pool, the red against the blue. The way we give it meaning, the way the light gets through, the wind against the starboard side, and the creaking of the wheel, the way we lean into it, as if it tells us how we feel. Mayfru, Mayfru, Mayfru.
Okay, we are camping tonight on the estuary of the River Tay between Perth and Dundee. We're just passing through a place called Errol.
Next time you see a mountain, no one can see you. You're looking in a mirror. May.
Do you want to do this one?
Yeah, sure. So we're basically just camping on the Tay Estuary tonight. We can see the two bridges that connect across the Tay Estuary. We'll be crossing one of those tomorrow. We can see Dundee next to it. We'll be going through that. So yeah, here we are.
Here we are.
We have reached Dundee.
It's a Dundee-al. Dundee-al.
All right. Okay, it's a bit noisy. We are just crossing the Tay Road Bridge. Off to our right, we can see the Tay Rail Bridge. What was that?
That is the sound of you hitting a sign that says St. Andrews, 17 miles. The first sign for St. Andrews we have seen on this entire walk.
Next time you see a mountain, no, I can't see you. You're looking in the mirror.
It's the evening of Saturday, the 22nd of August. We're at Tentmuir Sands. We camped here last night. We've spent the day just chilling, camping again tonight. And tomorrow we are walking, can't believe I'm saying this, we're walking to St. Andrews.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Last night we had a view down the coast and we could see the lights of St. Andrews. And it's like, we're getting there. But it'll be sad for it to end, I think.
Yeah, 100%. It's sunrise on Sunday the 23rd of August. We've got about 12 miles left to walk to St. Andrews. Ready to go, Thomas?
Yep.
Okay, let's go.
I can see all that we've been.
Oh, hello. What does that say? Is that the sign? No way. Does that say St. Andrews? It does. No way. We've made it. Come here, mate. I can see all of you. Okay, we are about to dunk our boots at the most easterly point of this pilgrimage. We did this at the most westerly point of the pilgrimage, looking out on the Isle of Mull onto Iona.
Yep.
And here we are at the coast, the other coast, on the other side of the country, and we've walked here in the footsteps of St. Columba. Should we do it? Let's dunk our feet. So here we are. We're sitting just outside St. Andrews on the beach that was featured in the film Chariots of Fire. Beautiful.
That iconic intro.
Yeah, incredible intro. And here we are. We have just completed St. Columba's Way, 180 miles, probably slightly more actually, because we did a few, went wrong a bit, didn't we? And doubled back and did a few extra bits. So
walked to find campsites.
Maybe closer to 200. Starting at Iona, where St. Columba came from Ireland, and where he established the monastery in the 6th century, and then really following in his footsteps across the country. St. Columba, who was known as the dove of Scotland, the dove of the church, apparently had a beautiful singing voice and just a really fascinating character. And yeah, been interesting to kind of learn a bit about him doing this and also tread this incredible route. So, Thomas, I'd be interested to hear, now that we're at the end of this pilgrimage, What were your expectations going into this, and have they been met, or have they been changed or in some way. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I went into it with quite a lot of trepidation, I think. Maybe more so than you, because I used to be a scout, so I have a bit of experience of the outdoors. And this was kind of unlike anything I'd done before. So I was worried that, you know, would we be able to finish it? Would it be all right, wild camping, all those sorts of things? And it has been challenging, but the fact that we have done it, in a way, you know, I'm surprised that, you know. But yeah, God has got us through. Yeah, it's absolutely been amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What about you?
I think for me, I was maybe, I thought that the walking itself would be easier and that the camping would be harder. And actually, I found it's been the other way around. Before this trip, to be honest, I wasn't really a big fan of camping. Like, the idea of wild camping was kind of like, why am I doing this? I don't really like that. I haven't enjoyed camping in the past, but I've actually found that the camping side of things has been really awesome. That idea of just like pitching up, just finding a place to pitch the tent in the evening, and you know, finding good ground and like a water source and all of those things has been so fun. And the fact that you wake up every morning and you're in a completely new location, that's been awesome. I've really genuinely enjoyed that. I've always been a big walker. I always like, you know, I like hiking. That for me has been the thing. Actually, I've found that quite challenging. It's physically been a tough thing.
Yeah, kind of the cumulative
thing of just doing 10 to 15 miles a day every day has had an impact on both of our feet, hasn't it? Blisters. And so yeah, I guess that's where I'm at with this, but it has been an incredible experience. And I think I went into this knowing that this would be a significant experience, and those expectations have definitely been met for me. How about what have been some highlights for you?
I think a number of things. The early campsites on Mull, especially the second one for me, looking across to the kind of the other part of the island of Mull and seeing the sun beams kind of coming down through the big sort of black rain clouds. And they say that's something you get in Scotland like nowhere else. And that was just stunning. And just kind of, what getting through the route and seeing how the land has changed. And it's been like the most I've been in nature for a continuous stint. And there's something very cool about that, I think.
Yeah,
sure. Makes me want to explore more of the UK. What about you?
Everything that you said, and also meeting Anna and Luca was that the first full day of walking on the mainland where we met them?
Yes,
that for me was really cool, just to meet two fellow pilgrims who were had done the route. You know, they were coming the other way. They'd started here where we are right now, and they were walking to Iona, and that was cool, just bumping into them. That felt like a kind of,
and that kind of showed us it was possible, didn't it?
yeah. What have been some lowlights?
I think the ailments,
the blisters,
blisters on my feet.
Midges.
Got thankfully a lot better for the second half of the walk.
Yeah,
I think it was the opposite for you, unfortunately, wasn't it? But ticks. There was a day on Mull. We didn't mention at the time because I think I was just too horrified to bring it up. But we had a wash in a lock on the final day on Mull before we arrived in Craignure to get the ferry. And when I was sort of washing, I noticed sort of on my legs and body, I had about 9 ticks in one go. And it was really distressing because it was the first interaction we'd had with them. And it's like, this doesn't bode well for the trip, does it? But since then, I've only had about 5 or something across multiple days. They're horrible little creatures, aren't they?
And the midges for me have been, I've found those difficult. I just think they're nasty, aren't they? And the days where we woke up and basically just in a swarm of midges, that I found tough. That's a tough wake up call. You know, you open up the tent and you're suddenly just having your blood sucked by tiny creatures. And then the wild toileting as well, I think.
You're not a fan.
Say no more. But yeah, that's not so pleasant.
I think we won't take
the comforts of home for granted.
For sure.
Certainly for the next few weeks.
Well, that's my next question. What have you learnt about yourself on this pilgrimage over the last 2.5 weeks?
Well, actually, it's been a much more spiritual experience than I thought it would be, actually. I know that sounds a bit silly because it is a pilgrimage, but I thought my mind would be very much on the walking and the route and everything. And it was at times, but I think it's weird just not having the pressures that I mentioned early on about being off the internet. And, you know, obviously good to be connected, but having that space apart from the kind of the busyness of life has just allowed me to reconnect a lot more with God, I think. And I'll be honest, I'm not saying this to like sensationalise your podcast, but the lockdown period, like the past 4 months, 5 months, kind of been the point in my life where my faith has been lowest, I'd say. Or it's been like a real time of drought for me. I know other people have said the opposite, but I've just found it became a routine thing. I'd read the Bible in the evening, but it wasn't really meaning anything. I felt very distant from God. I think the not going to church in person and just, yeah, it was weird. You know, because I do my filmmaking and stuff, and I don't know if you get this, but I find I often try and define myself too much by what I make.
Oh, absolutely. I do that all the time.
Yeah, and so I was investing so much in that and making films and spending so much time on that. And, you know, I think it's good to have passions and stuff, but I think it was bordering on obsession. And so this has forced me out of that, and yeah, it's restored my faith genuinely. Just seeing God provide our daily bread, the simple things like food and places to sleep, and it's been amazing. And I'm not just saying that, but yeah, I'm not saying everyone needs to do a pilgrimage to, you know, God can restore faith through a number of ways, I think. But for me personally, doing this walk has been hugely significant. Don't know about you.
What have I learned about myself? I think I've learned that the day that I found hardest was actually the first day of the hike, the first full day on Mull, where we just couldn't find the path, could we? And it was just really challenging, and I found it really frustrating because it felt like we weren't making any progress. And I think I've learned that, you know, on this pilgrimage it's been so much easier to walk when we can see the destination. Like a day where we're walking alongside a loch and we can just see the end of it, and we know how far we are, and we can just pace ourselves, is so much easier than walking through thick kind of forest and places where you can't really see the destination. I think that's true for life as well, that and I think this is something that we carry as Christians, is this hope of what's to come. And that then influences everything. It makes life this incredible adventure with this incredible destination, but actually the journey is significant as well. And you can enjoy the journey. And yeah, I think just finding that purpose is so key. And yeah, like you say, this has been a significant spiritual experience for me as well. And I've definitely reconnected with the God who... Okay, my next question actually was going to be, what have you learned about God? Can I just finish off mine, and then I'll ask you the same. So, you know, I've reconnected with God in a really significant way on this pilgrimage. Seeing nature, parts of the walk have been almost uninhabited, barely any signs of human life. Yeah. And you just get this sense of the ancient God who has created everything, and yet also invites us into relationship with him, has been really amazing. And that provides so much purpose, and that will provide purpose going forward in my life. So, yeah, have you learned anything about God?
Yeah, kind of similar to that, the Celtic idea of thin places, which you've been talking about.
Yeah.
And these points in nature where it looks like kind of heaven and earth touch. And I think that's a really powerful idea, isn't it? Kind of thinking more broadly, I think the world is full of thin places, you know, where we get glimpses of the way it should be. You know, people at their best, like random acts of kindness, and you know, little beautiful things like the birth of a child, and amazing places in nature, and like people doing unprofitable forgiveness and
kind acts and stuff. And yeah, so we do get, although it's a broken world, we get these thin places where we get glimpses of actually there is God, there's goodness, and we can reflect some of that goodness. Yeah, that's pretty cool, I think.
Amen. There it is. Oh, thank you so much for listening. And, you know, if you've enjoyed what you've heard, I would love for you to share this series with your friends and your family. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you can leave a review and you can rate the podcast. 5 stars, please. It really just really helps others hear about it, basically. So I'd appreciate you doing that if you're able to. Many thanks to Johnny Davies for creating the theme tune, and to my fellow pilgrim Thomas Thorogood for the jingles. Thomas is actually a filmmaker, and he creates work under the name Stir and Fry. So if you just search for that, Stir and Fry, on YouTube, you'll find a video called Saint Columba's Way, and check it out. You know, Thomas has got some mad skills, and he's turned this pilgrimage into a brilliant short film. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you for listening. There'll be a new episode in 2 weeks' time. So yeah, make sure you've subscribed to be the first to hear about that. And yeah, speak soon.